For this week's Peace Bucket, we're joined by Professor Larry Widnes, a professor emeritus of history at SUNY Albany. We've had Larry on a number of times talking about a host of issues, such as nuclear weapons, but he's also been recently on about Ukraine. And so one of the questions I guess I'd ask Larry to start off is, you know, what should the peace movement in the United States be doing about this ongoing, you know, war in the Ukraine? And Russia seems to be settling in.
Yeah, well, that's a real problem. Russian invasion of Ukraine is the largest military assault, the largest war in Europe since the Second World War. And it's been a disaster for the Ukrainians, for the Russians, for many nations around the world. It's heightened militarism. It's led to millions of refugees and tens of thousands of deaths and the possibility of massive starvation in the global South. What the peace movement can do, well, it can do a variety of things. I think that the U.S. peace movement particularly should work with the Russian peace movement to reinforce it against repression by the Russian government. Obviously, a revolt against aggressive war is best within the home country. It's one thing for Americans to be criticizing Russia, and that's fine, but that's not going to have anywhere near the impact on the Putin regime as a revolt within Russia against the war. So I think the U.S. peace movement should be defending the Russian peace movement as best it can, publicizing its plight. I think that it should be calling for United Nations intervention in the form of brokering a peace agreement. It should be calling for the for a ceasefire and the withdrawal of Russian troops from Ukraine.
So how does one unfortunately, you know, go about making that happen? The United Nations is often not, you know, a particularly effective group in stopping these type of incursions, particularly when, you know, one of the major powers that are on the, you know, five permanent seats, you know, sort of has veto power. I mean, what type of, you know, agreement, you know, could emerge that allows both Ukraine and, you know, Russia to be able to, you know, say yes to?
Well, all right. First, part of your question is how can the UN be effective in these circumstances, given the Security Council veto that's been exercised by the Russian government, which, of course, has resisted the pressure from the UN to cease its war and to return its troops to Russia. The great powers at the end of the Second World War gave themselves the permanent seats on the Security Council, those five permanent seats, and they've used them to thwart peace efforts by the UN that would not serve them well or would interfere with their wars. So the Security Council is not very useful in terms of exercising UN power to end the scourge of war, which is what the UN, according to its charter, is supposed to be doing. The General Assembly, though, has powers that it's at times exercised in terms of world conflicts. In the case of the Ukraine war, there's been a General Assembly vote of 141 nations to five, condemning the Russian invasion, calling for a ceasefire and the departure of Russian troops. The General Assembly, in the case that the Security Council is blocked in taking action by the veto, can intervene, in fact, under UN General Assembly Resolution 377, which was issued decades in the past, there is that potentiality for the General Assembly taking action when the Security Council is thwarted from taking peacemaking or peacekeeping action. So an agreement could be called for and defined by the General Assembly, and nations can be called to support that kind of agreement. Obviously, a long-term agreement has to be hammered out by all the contending parties to the conflict, and that means Russia, that means Ukraine, that means the nations in NATO, and so on. And therefore, there should obviously be a peace meetings, sessions that should take place under UN auspices that will hammer out this security agreement to the satisfaction of all parties concerned. But in the interim, until that long-term security arrangement is established, the war should end. The war should at least stop with a ceasefire and the departure of Russian troops. This would provide an off-ramp, by the way, for the Russians, since obviously they're going to be much more hostile to a settlement demanded by NATO than to a settlement demanded by the world's nations for which the UN speaks.
Earlier on in this conversation, you mentioned the Russian peace movement, which got a fair amount of attention, at least in the mainstream media early on, perhaps because the media was surprised that, you know, there was any Russian, you know, peace movement allowed to speak up, but haven't heard much about it, at least in the media recently. So, you know, what is the Russian, you know, peace movement doing at this point? And what about in the Ukraine? Is there a peace movement calling for a particular course of action there?
Well, in terms of Russia, in the first week or two of the war, there was a massive turnout of demonstrators, thousands and thousands of anti-war demonstrators calling for an end to the Russian invasion and calling for an end to the war thereby. However, the Russian government cracked down on them. The government set up 15-year sentences. Well, they made 15,000 arrests of peace demonstrators. Then they passed legislation to make even mentioning war, since it's not supposed to be a war, according to the Russian government, but only a special military operation. They made even mentioning war or peace, for that matter, a crime punishable by up to 15 years in prison. So from that point on, only the most courageous Russians dared to speak up. Some did. An estimated 200,000 Russians have fled Russia rather than remain in it under these circumstances. So there's widespread dismay. Public opinion polls, though, seem to show that the war is popular, although that's not totally surprising, given the fact that the Putin regime has closed down all opposition or independent media, and the vast majority of the people get all their news from the official sources. And of course, those are champions of the Russian war. So it's a very difficult situation. I don't know much about the Ukrainian peace movement. I do know there have been calls for an end to the war, but for the most part, they call on the Russian government to halt its invasion and for a peaceful settlement of the conflict.
Larry, we're out of time. If people want to follow your write-ins, how best can they do that?
Well, they can look up my website, LawrenceWittner.com or LarryWittner.com.
Professor Larry Widner, Professor Emeritus of History at University of Albany, SUNY Albany. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.